Now, some good news this morning with a continuing fall in COVID patient numbers in hospital and in ICU. But the damage inflicted by the pandemic on patients with non-COVID illnesses awaiting appointments is laid bare in new research, which shows that the health service is heading for a waiting list of almost 1 million. The analysis by the Irish Hospital Consultants Association also reveals that because of COVID, there will be 200,000 fewer outpatient and inpatient appointments this year. Professor Alan Irvine is president of the Irish Hospital Consultants Association. Professor Irvine, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
This research, it really drives home the impact of COVID on what was an already challenged health service. What's the best case scenario for patients who are awaiting treatment as this year progresses now and hospitals begin that return to non-COVID care?
No, you're absolutely right. We started the pandemic in February of last year with a mismatch really between the demand for services and the capacity to provide them. And that was evident for a couple of decades before February 2020. And what's happened with the pandemic, the health system has everyone from the senior management to the frontline flexed, and we've been able to cope just about with the demands. But what that has done, the demands of the really urgent care that needed to happen during the three waves of the pandemic, that has displaced scheduled and time-sensitive care, and it's put a lot of extra people on the waiting lists. And unfortunately, the requirements for things like social distancing as we go into this year mean that we can't pick up to 2019 levels. We're going to be behind on our 2019 activity levels. So we really need to have a radical plan for dealing with that waiting list. We need to have a radical plan for recruiting. We've almost 730 empty consultant posts. We need to get a fresh team to join the team on the pitch that's coped very well in the last year, but we need a lot of new energy and talent coming into the system, and we need capacity and infrastructure around people to allow them to work, to really make a dent in these waiting lists. Now, what I want to say on just from the patient focus, that the way your question was worded, we do try and prioritise letters as they come in and referrals, so that the people who have got symptoms and letters that look like they really need care in the next few weeks, that they will do that. We do our very best to make sure people don't miss out on care. But when you have, you know, coming up to 860,000 people on waiting lists, you can't do that with absolute accuracy across that number of patients. So it is difficult, and it is a risk.
Is there also this factor that what was a scheduled appointment for perhaps an elective procedure is going to become chronic care, adding further to the pressure on the system at a time when, you know, healthcare is exhausted, HSE management is exhausted, and the system still has to work with restrictions?
No, well, you're absolutely right in your depiction of people have given so much in the last year. They really are on their knees, and they've responded really admirably. Your point about delay in accessing care is really well made. You know, many problems are easily solved with less intervention, with less treatment, if they're picked up early. You know, simple interventions that don't need to escalate into prolonged admissions or chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and all of the stress that places on the person who has to go through that. You know, their time away from their family and their jobs. Delayed diagnoses are something that we really want to avoid, and we can only do that safely by increasing capacity. In the meantime, we have to really try and triage as many people as we can and get the correct people to care urgently. But that's an imperfect process, and if you have a system working beyond its capacity, it's really a stressful environment. So we need to expand and recruit, and we need a really clear timeline on how we're going to do that, a really innovative way of doing that, just as we've been innovative over the last year, and we've learned a lot of new ways of working together. We need to build on that.
Indeed, and to stay with that, because would you say that over the last year you've seen a transformation in the way that elements of healthcare has worked and worked together, and can you hold on to that? We've seen change that we would have been told pre-pandemic could not possibly happen, and it has happened in months rather than years.
Well, I think you're right. We need to channel that energy and that collaborative spirit, that element of all of the elements listening to each other and forming really collaborative solutions. We need to devolve and decentralize some decision-making locally. That will really help, because a lot of the best solutions in the system have been local in flexing around the COVID capacity. And we need to really have a collaborative way of filling the posts with our young people, our young nurses, our young doctors, our young consultants. How are we going to bring them into the system for the next 5 and 10 years?
Going to bring them into the system? And is there an appetite now among your consultant colleagues abroad to return to the Irish healthcare system? Because you have over 700 vacant consultant posts.
We have, and that's a huge concern for us. There's 3,200 of us, and we train the next generation of consultants. So we're very in tune with what our doctors, these are senior doctors in training who are looking to it through their career, looking for where they're going to spend the next 30, 35 years of the career. We know exactly what they need to come in. We're in touch with lots of people around the world as well. We have members who are interested in the position. The discriminatory pay is a huge disincentive, I have to say that. People who have been appointed since 2012 get paid less, and we're now probably the only public sector where there's such a big distinction between people who were before and after 2012. We really stand out, and that really disincentivizes people. We need to provide the infrastructure for them too. They want to come and work and be effective in a modern infrastructure with facilitated IT. The things that they see when they work overseas, you know, they want that to come to be in Ireland when they come back.
That change still has not happened. Professor Alan Irvine, President of the IHCA, thank you very much.